Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph. We are holding on Daf Ayin Amid Beis. We are at the two dots on the third wide line on Daf Ayin Amid Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. It's also sponsored by Chani and J.J. Hornblass and family, in memory of J.J.'s father, the Honorable Jerome Hornblass, Zichron Levracha. It's also sponsored by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbitz, Zichron Levracha, in commemoration of his fourth yard site, Harav Baruch Tzvi, Ben Ruvein Nassan, Zichron Levracha, Nesham Hashem Naliyah. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the status of a cheresh and an ilaim in halacha, particularly when it comes to writing a get, but really more broadly than just writing a get. And we're going to discuss all the different permutations, meaning you have someone who was once a cheresh is no longer a cheresh, someone who wasn't a cheresh and is a cheresh, and specifically we're going to talk about whether we could trust his writing if he gives us instructions to write a get to his wife, but he cannot speak, so he writes down instructions to write a get to his wife. So do we assume that that's enough das to be able to follow his instructions? So Rav is going to be mechadesh that a cheresh can write instructions to give a get to his wife. The Gemara is going to spend all of Amud Aleph challenging Rav. First that it's a davar pasha what Rav says, and then challenging that it's not correct what Rav says. And the Gemara is going to try to ultimately resolve that it's a machlokes tanoim, whether Rav is correct or not. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah that seems to be self-contradictory. The Mishnah, as far as whether Mili, Mimsron, Lishliach, the Mishnah is going to talk about someone who says, Ksuvu, who says, write a get for my wife, and then they go and they instruct other people to write the get for the wife. So we're going to have a resha and a seifa of the Mishnah that seem to tell us two opposite things about mili mimsron l'shliach or mili lo mimsron l'shliach. And all of the Gemara until the Mishnah on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph is going to be different ways of trying to resolve who the author of that Mishnah might be. Is it the Shita of Rabbi Yossi? Is it the Shita of Rabbi Meir? Is it the Shita of both of them? And how the two statements can be reconciled with each other, or if they can be reconciled with each other. So let's begin. Again, we're at the two dots, three lines into the wide lines, on daf ayin amud beis. So nishtatek va'amr lo nichtov get li'ishtecha. So we said in the Mishnah that if the fellow is unable to speak, so they asked him, do you want us to write a get for your wife? And he shakes his head, yes. So we examine three times, we check three times to see that he's responding to what we're asking, and he's doing so with proper das, and if he answers no to the questions that are no, and yes to the questions that are yes, so then we're allowed to follow those instructions and write a get for his wife. So I ask the Gemara, v'lecha shtilma shichya delav lav nakte inami shichya de'enei nakte. Maybe this is a symptom. He has some sort of spasm where his head just shakes yes, or his head shakes no. So I'm Rav Yosef bar Minyome, I'm Rav Nachman, damrina le b'seirugin. We don't ask him, three times in a row. We give it some time in between. We'll wait 5 minutes, then we'll ask him again. If Sheikh said yes again, then we'll wait another 5 minutes. We'll ask him again. So says Gemara, v'lecha shtilma shichya d'seirugin nakte. Maybe he has a thing that every 5 minutes his head shakes yes. And that's a symptom of whatever illness he has. But it's not necessarily, or maybe just any time you ask him anything, his head is going to shake yes. And that's, so you don't know that there's any das involved. So no, damrin lechad lav v'train hein, train lav v'chad hein. We don't do any pattern. We ask him one question where the answer is no, two questions where the answer is yes. So, and he keeps answering in the correct way. He's saying no to the no questions, yes to the yes questions. So that would be too much of a coincidence to just say that it's some sort of spasm, meaning that would be almost as much of a coincidence as saying that he doesn't know what's coming out of his mouth, and it's just sounds that are coming out of his mouth, but they're actually sound like words. Obviously, he's formulating the words when a person speaks. So too, if a person is shaking his head yes to the yes things and no to the no things, it's not, you don't chalk that up to coincidence. We assume that there's some das involved. So the Gemara says, the Gemara discusses, so what do we ask him? What are the no questions and the yes questions that we're going to ask him to check for any das? So the Beis Rabbi Shmuel Tana, they taught in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, We ask him wintertime things in summertime things in wintertime, and wintertime things in summertime, to see if he's at least familiar with the season and with the basic weather outside. So, Maini, who, what are the winter things and summer things that we ask him about? If we're going to ask him whether he wants winter clothing or summer clothing, we're going to ask, hey, do you want your heavy winter coat, or do you want to wear very light clothing? So that's not a raya that he's not a bardas if he asks for the wrong thing. If we ask him when it's 90 degrees outside, do you want your winter coat? And he shakes his head yes. It could just be that he's freezing because he's sick. And because he's sick, he's freezing. Or it could be in the winter time that he's schwitzing and he's sweating because he's sick, not because he doesn't have any das. Ella bepiri. So it must be that we ask him about fruits that are seasonal, that are not available during that time period of the year. So we say, do you want this type of fruit? And if he says yes, so then we see that he's not in his right mind. That's how Rashi understands, that we ask him about a seasonal fruit that's not in season, and we say, would you like to eat the fruit? So we would expect him to say, what do you mean eat the fruit? I can't, that's not available for another several months. But if he just says yes, then you know he's not in his right mind. So Tosos disagrees with Rashi. Tosos says, that's not enough to tell me he's not in his right mind. He probably figures that you figured out a way to maintain that fruit. You know, you pickled it or did something with it to hold it, yeah, some sort of, you left it in the freezer or something, and you have some way to maintain that fruit even in the when it's off season. So he says it's not about asking him would he like to eat that fruit. What we ask him is, would you like us to pick that fruit from a tree in the backyard? So that he'll be able to know. If it's out of season, there's no way that you could have pulled off such a trick to have such a fruit in the growing on a tree when it's not the right season. So that's how we examine whether he has das or not. These are not so, meaning for us, we would think that the person, that would not be a reflection of das, because for us, you know, all fruits are available all the time because they import from different parts, you know, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, so when it's winter there, summer there, so there we're able to get, you know, almost everything is available. It's a big shayla l'shechianu. Is there really such a thing as a shechianu on a pri anymore? Because everything's always seasonal, because they can always import from everywhere. But that used to be a thing. That used to be a very, seasonal fruits were something that would that people were very attuned to, much more so than nowadays. Okay, so now the Gemara moves on to the Chiddush of Rav. The background to the Chiddush of Rav is that the Mishnah says in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Kuf Yud Beis that if a Cheresh marries a Pikachas or a Pikeach marries a Chareshes, so they can get divorced, because just like they got married Birimiza with one of them not having full das, one of them being a Cheresh, so too they get to get divorced Birimiza. But if a Pikeach marries a Pikachas, if two people are full Bnei Das and they get married to each other, and then one of them becomes a Cheresh, or the man becomes a Cheresh rather, then you can never divorce her, because Nisuin of a Cheresh or a Chirashas is only a Nisuin Midrabanan. So you could be Megarish Midrabanan, but Nisuin that of a Pikeach and a Pikachas is Nisuin Midaraisa. Gerishin of a Cheresh is only going to be a Gerishin Midrabanan. So a Gerishin Midrabanan cannot undo a marriage that's a marriage mida oraisa. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav. Rav was mechadish the following. If a pikeach gets married and they have a full kiddushin mida oraisa, and then after they get married, he becomes a cheresh. So cheresh yochel ledaber mitoch haksav. If he's a cheresh, but he knows how to write, and he says, he hands us a note that says, kisvu tnu get leishti atem ploni uploni, right? He says, I want you to write a get, give a get to my wife, and he identifies the people that he's talking to. So then Kosvin Vinosan get Ishto. Then we see, obviously, is a Bardas. We see that he knows what he's talking about, and we can write and give a get to his wife. The Gemara is going to have on Ayin Beza Mal Aleph a Braisa that proves against Rav, and the Maskana of the Gemara is going to be that Rav is really subject to a Machlokas Tanaim, and that's why the Rif and the Rosh Paskin against Rav. Whereas when it comes to someone who's nishtatek, meaning not someone who can no longer hear, but someone who can no longer speak, the Rambam Paskins that if he writes b'ksav yado kisu tnuget liishti, so we're close from Minosin if he was daitim yushevaslav, because someone who's nishtatek is not the same as a cherish. So according to Rav, it works even if he became a cherish. And according to the Rambam, even if it doesn't work if he becomes a cherish, but if he's nishtatek, it's going to work. So there is a discussion. Yeah, it works if you write such an instruction, but do we rely on the written instructions alone, or do we also require some other bedika to make sure, like the hein hein, lav lav, you know, summertime fruits, wintertime fruits? I mean, do we also require some other verification that the fellow has das? So the Pnei Yeshua is mochiach that the chiddush of Rav is that we're megarish al piksi vaso, and you don't need any further raya. The Pnei Yeshua says that the Beis Yosef explains this way within the Shita Sarambam as well. However, the Ran writes, when it comes to medaber mitoch haksav, he says, but medaber ve'enu shomea, o shomea ve'enu medaber, harein kipikhan l'chol devrayim, ubibidika sagi, that it's good enough to just do bidika, meaning that you do need a bidika. The Ran says, not like the Beis Yosef understands in the Rambam, that yes, it's true that if he writes us a note that you should give a get to his wife, that you would give a get to his wife, but that's only if you did a further bedika to make sure that he's a bardas. So what exactly is this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran, whether we could rely solely on his note, or whether we also need an additional bedika? So the Arsameach explains that the machlokas is whether ksiva is kedibor mamish, or ksiva is just a simen. That according to the Rambam, ksiva is kedibor mamish, so you don't need a bedika. If a person walks into Beis Din and speaks to us and says, write a get for my wife, and he starts instructing people, you don't need to say, would you like a plum? You know, you don't have to start asking him about seasonal fruits, right? Because you know that he's a bar das. So if ksiva is kedibor mamish, so then that's good enough. Whereas according to the Ran, it's ksiva is only a simen. It's not kedibor mamish. It's a simen of das. Well, one simen of das is not enough. You need to be muchsuk three times by asking three different questions. So only then are we going to know that there is no sugya and shas literally of ksiva kedibor, right? That's Rabbi Kiveger, is the famous Mar Makom on the sugya of ksiva kedibor, because we have by edus mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam, but not by not as far as whether mitzvos that require dibor and things like that, whether ksiva is kedibor. Rabbi Kiveger has the tshuva about sviras haomer in ksiva kedibor. But anyway, so the Gemara says over here that Rav is mechadesh, that if the fellow writes a note and he's a cherish, but he writes a note that says, I want you to write a get to my wife, we can absolutely do that. So asks Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yosef, my kamash malan, what's the big chiddush of Rav? Tanina, we already learned it in our Mishnah. Nishtatek, if a fellow became a mute, and we say, would you like us to write a get for your wife? V'hirkin barosho, and he shakes and said, yes, both can also shlosh apamim. We examine three times, and he keeps on saying yes to the yes questions, no to the no questions. So good, so we can write a get to the wife. So you see that you could be megarish through remiza, through the husband hinting to the idea, even when he's mute. So from that Mishnah, you could see that it implies that the same is true if he's a cherish, that he could be megarish based on a note that he writes, even though he happens to be a cherish. Tosos is bothered. What's the Gemara's kasha over here? Rav Yosef is challenging Rav. What you're saying is pashut, that a cherish can give us a note and we'll follow the instructions in the note, because the Mishnah says that an elaim that's examined three times is good enough. Adarabba, the Gemara should have asked that from our Mishnah, it sounds like that you could even be megarish baharkana sarosh, that you don't need to pass a note. You can just shake your head, and shaking your head is good enough. And Rav says that you got to write a note. Rav has a higher level of what he requires. He suggests that you need to write a note, that it's not good enough to just shake your head. So the Tosel suggests that you have to be mechalik between the ilim and the cheresh. By a cheresh, it's saying medab ravena shomea. So certainly shaking his head is not going to be good enough. So the kasha of Rav Yosef is that just like shaking the head is good enough for an ilim, and you don't need an explicit dibur, because you could see just by shaking his head that he understands what's going on and that he really wants to get divorced. So too, ksiva of a cheresh should be good enough to make him a pikeach, even though shaking his head would not be good enough to make someone who's a cheresh into a pikeach. So that's why Rav Yosef is just asking, what's Rav's chiddush? Now, the Ritva and the Tosfos Rid understand the kasha of the Gemara, that in our Mishnah it says that Harkonas HaRosh is good enough, and therefore Kal V'chomer Ksiva is good enough, because Ksiva is better than Harkonas HaRosh. So my Kamashvelon, so what's Rav teaching me? Okay, so either the way the Tosfos understands is we're accounting for the difference between an Ilim and a Cheresh in the question, or maybe we're not accounting for the difference, and we're just saying that an Ilim and a Cheresh have the same din, and if Harkonas HaRosh is good enough, then Kal V'chomer, it should be good enough to write a note. But either way, Rav is not telling me a very great chiddush. So Amalei Rabbi Zeira says back to Rav Yosef, Ilim Kamrit, you want to compare the din of a cherish to the din of an Ilim in our Mishnah? Shiny Ilim, Titani, Medaber Veinu Shomea Zeu Cherish, Shomea Veinu Medaber Zeu Ilim, V'zev Zeh Harein Kepichin L'chol Devreihem. If a person is only unable to hear but is able to speak, or only unable to speak but is able to hear, then they're considered a bardas, they're a pikeach l'chol davar. So as far as getting divorced, so it would be good enough if he shakes his head, and we see that he has some basic level of das. When the chacham compare a cheresh to a shota, we're talking about someone who's einu medaber ve'einu shomea. He can't do either one, and that's what Rav is telling me, that even though he's einu shomea ve'einu medaber, neither one, but writing is good enough, and that's a great cheresh. That's far beyond what the Mishnah taught us. The Mishnah taught us that someone who's unable to speak but is able to hear. How do I know he's able to hear? Because the Mishnah said, we ask him, do you want us to try to get to your wife? He obviously heard us and he responds to all the questions that we're asking. So Eino Chinami, the cheresh that's like an Elaim, the cheresh that's similar to that, the guy who can't hear but can't speak, Eino Chinami wouldn't be a chiddush to tell us that he's a bar das and that we could follow his instructions. The chiddush of Rav is he's Eino Medaber ve'Eino Shemeya, and we still follow his instructions. Chassam Sofer is bothered that in the beginning of Maseches Chagiga we go through the behaviors of a shota and what makes a person a shota. So a shota is a person who's doing very weird things. He's acting in a deranged manner. He's yotzi yichidi belayli. He's lon bebeis hakvaros. What's like you find a guy sleeping in a beis hakvaros? It's a strange thing. We find people who are deaf and mute that don't do any of these things. So what does it mean that every cheresh is as a din of a shota mehechitesi, that we should treat him like a shota? Chassam Sofer is a tshuva in Eben Ezra Chelbeis Siman Aleph, where he's bothered by this, and he says you have to say that a cheresh is not kishota mamish, but there's some sort of chisaron in his das, and he's not daito shlema. He doesn't have full das, but it's it must be. He says it's karv levadai that it's halacha l'moshe misinai, that a cheresh having a din like a shota is halacha l'moshe. That's not something we could have figured out, because he sometimes behaves perfectly normally and he seems to interact with people in a perfectly normal kind of way. Rav Shlomo Zalman in his Tshuva Micha Shlomo quotes the Rambam, that the Rambam writes that an akum who's a cheresh is also has a din of a shota, and he's pater from Moshe Beis Din for those things that a ben Noach would normally be chayiv on. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says the kashul lam lohavin minayin yadu chazal pater mitzvah supposlo mishem ish. How do I know? Where did Chazal get the idea that he's pater from mitzvahs? Below shum yalfusa mikrayo me'alacha. We don't find any limud that's the case, that he's potter from mitzvos. Aval kiven shekenu emes chayev manu lomer sheyodu chazal barov chachmasam. So Shlomo Zalman says you have to assume that Chazal were able to ascertain with their immense chachma, with their enormous chachma, the cheresh she'enu shomea ve'enu medaber hu ish kazeh she'i efshalir also kachray al maisav, that someone who's enu shomea ve'enu medaber cannot be held responsible for his actions, and therefore even if he appears to be zarizim umulach and he seems to act bepikchus, he seems to act with daito shlema, nevertheless, we treat him like a shota. He says it must be that Chazal were able to ascertain that there's not, that there's something missing, that there's not full das. These conversations become very relevant when it comes to modern times, not even such modern times, already for a few hundred years, where Charashim who are Reina Medaber Veina Shemea could be fully educated, they could earn a PhD, they could hold a job, they could all sorts of things. So the question is, was this a lack of education? And because they didn't know how to, the sign language was undeveloped and they didn't know how to educate them properly, so that's why there was always something missing, but now we filled in that which was missing? Or do we assume that there's just a metzius? So ironically, meaning the more you think it was a chiddush that Chazal came up with on their own, that didn't really make sense in the days of Chazal either, that we wouldn't have figured out either, it was just Chazal brov chachmasam, the more likely you are to say, and therefore even nowadays, it's a chiddush einu medaber v'einu shomea. But the more you say that, no, a cheresh probably wasn't functioning. So then you say, maybe now that they function. So there are a lot of tshuvas in this topic in the Acharonim. There isn't really I don't think there was a consensus in the Acharonim that first dealt with this issue. So anyway, says Gemara, "Mai de medaber ve'inu shomea zeh cheresh." How do you know that a medaber ve'inu shomea is referred to as a cheresh? Shomea ve'inu medaber zeh ilim. And the word, the proper word to use to describe a shomea ve'inu medaber is an ilim. Because the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Va'ani kecheresh lo eshma uki'ilem lo yiftach biv." So you see that the definition of a cheresh is lo eshma. Definition of an ilem is lo yiftach biv. V'ibay seima k'tamriin she ishtakel milulei. Others say it's just the etymology of the word ilem, that the word ilem is a nutrikon of ishtakel milulei, that his words are taken from him, means he's unable to speak. So now the Gemara says, "Amar abizeri I kashali ha kashali." If I'm gonna have a problem with Rav, my problem with Rav is the following. Meaning again, Rav is one that told us that if a cheresh writes instructions to give a get to his wife, to write and give a get to his wife, we follow those instructions. So the first challenge against Rav was Pshita, we already have that in our Mishnah about an Elaim. So we answered that question. So now we have a different challenge of Rav, not Pshita, but the Tanya, we have a Braisa that talks about Shavuos Ha'edos. The halach is that if you know testimony and im lo yagid, v'nasa avono, the pasuk says that if a person says to two people, "I want you to come and be made for me," and they swear, "We don't know any testimony for you," and then it turns out that they did know the testimony, so they're chayiv to bring a karban asham for that shvuah sheker. And from the words im lo yagid, we could it implies that he could have been made, but he chose not to be made. Pratli ilim sheni yachal hagid. So we exclude an ilim from this part, because an Elaim anyway could not have been made. He doesn't have the ability to be made. So he's not included in the Karban of Shavuos Ha'edos. So says Gemara, "Amai, what do you mean he's not able to be made?" According to Rav, Hayachal Hagin Mitoch HaKsav, Rav says that an Elaim that writes instructions to give a get to his wife, you follow those instructions. Apparently, according to Rav, even if a person is an Elaim, he is able to be made, Mitoch HaKsav. So Amalei Abai, Edus Kamrit, Shiny Edus, Rachman Amar Mipiem, Velo Mipiksavam. No, Rav says his instructions, his written instructions ought to be followed, but not that he's able to say Edus. There's a special din by Edus that it needs to be Mipiem, and we darshin Mipiem, Velo Mipiksavam. So he's excluded from the din of Edus. The Achronim are bothered if he's excluded from the din of Edus. So then what do you need a Gzeris HaKasav, a special miyut, from the din of Shavuos HaEdus? An Elaim is excluded from Shavuos HaEdos. If he can't be an aid, obviously he's excluded from Shavuos HaEdos. So in the Torah's Gittin, he's Miyashev based on a Shach in Choshen Mishpat. The Shach writes in Siman Mem Vav in Choshen Mishpat that there's Machlokas Rishonim whether an Elaim can be Chosem on Shtaros as an aid. That according to Rabbi Natam, he cannot, because if he can't be Meyed Bepeh, then he can't be Meyed Beksav either. And that's all a signature on Shtar is. It's Edos Beksav. Whereas according to the Shulchan Aruch and many other poskim, a shtar is not edus b'ksav. It's a separate din called a shtar. There's something else. It's not just written edus. It's something called a shtar. So according to those deos, that an edus of an elaim is kosher in a shtar, so you could say that the Torah is excluding him from the korban shvuos edus, even though he is in some on some level eligible for edus. Edus b'shtar. That's why I need a special miyut, even though he's anyway not allowed to be an aid. I need a special miyut to exclude him from Shavua Sa'edus. So that's Mipia. So that's why, even though Mipia belong to Mipik Savam, I have another drasha to exclude him from Shavua Sa'edus. So now the Gemara asks on this brisa that from the pasuk of Imlo Yagid, we are Mimait in Elim because he's not a Bar Hagodas Edus. So Mesve, the brisa says, Shem Shabot Kenoso, just like we are Bodek, someone who's Nishtatik, to see if he's a Pikeach Legitin, as far as Gitin are concerned, meaning we make him shake his head if he wants seasonal fruits. Will also do a similar examination of him for Masu Matan to see if he's able to do Masu Matan, Ula Eduyos, and to see if he could be Mayin, Ula Yerushos, and for matters of Yerusha. So we'll get to what all those things are, but Katani Mias Eduyos. But the bottom line, it says that we examine him to shake his head as far as Eduyos, that if he turns out to be a Pekech, apparently he's Kashala Edus, Mitoch Aksav, and apparently it's not a problem with Pim. That's against the brisa, which says that there's a problem with Bim Big Savam. So Amrav Yosef Ramanumi, Amrav Sheshes Be'edus Isha Dakili Barabanan. Now, when we say that we examine his level of das, as far as Edus is concerned, we're talking about Edus Isha, where the Rabbanan are makel for Edus Isha to allow a woman to get remarried. We allow Neir Echad, we allow a Karov, we allow a Shivcha. So one of the things that we'll allow is even an Elaim Mitoch Aksav. But that's the only Edus that we would examine to see if he's a Bar Das. For other Eduyos, he's automatically disqualified. So, frankly, Gemara va Katani Yerushos. But it says in the Brisa that we check him even for Yerushos, and the Gemara assumes to be made on Yerushos that a person was morish to somebody else. So you see from the Brisa that it's not only Edus Isha that he's kasher lehayud. We're going to see if he's a bardas to be made about someone's Yerusha, about someone's dinim avinus. Some Rabbi Yavo, Yerushos b'no abachar. No, when it says Yerushos, it doesn't mean some other guy's Yerusha. It means that if he wants his ben abachar to take the same amount of nechassim with the other brothers and not to get pishnayim. So for that, we'll be bodek if he's a pikeach. And if he's a pikeach, even if he's not able to speak, he's able to divide his estate in that way. But it also said that as long as he can shake his head yes to the right answers and no to the right to the wrong answer, so Masel Sumatanos, he's able to be made on. So my lovely Alma, doesn't that mean regular Masel Matan, Dine Mamanus of other people, real Edels? Says, well, lo, Lididei. It just means that he knows how to buy and sell things, that he's able to function in society. It doesn't mean that he could be an aid. So at the end of the day, this entire Brisa that tells us that we ask him questions and he shakes his head, and that's good enough. Not only for Gittin, but it's good enough for Eduyos and for Masel Matan and for Yerushos. It's not telling us that it's good enough for Edus. It's not good enough for Edus. So now the Gemara challenges Rav again. Mesve, we have another Brisa. Cheresh lohochba achar rimizosav v'achar kfitzosav v'achar ksav yado elabimataltalin avalobigitin. That when it comes to a cheresh who's able to communicate either by making hand signals or by mouthing things or by writing notes to us, we're only going to pay attention to those things for metaltalin, but not for gittin. It's directly against Rav. Rav says that if he's able to be medaber mitoch haksav, if he's able to write us a note, you follow the note, even for gittin. So says Gemara Tanaihi, it must be that it's a machlokas tanaim. Ditanya, because we have a brisa, in that same brisa, that brisa that we just quoted, that cheresh lo holchu ba'achar rimizosav, that lo legitin, that we don't follow his writing for gittin. The brisa continues, amram shum gumliel ba'medva mamurim b'cheresh meikaro. When do we not follow the guy's written instructions when it comes to a get? That's if he was a cheresh meikaro, that he never had clear das ever, and therefore even if he's able to be medaber mitoch haksav, we cannot rely on that alone to assume that he's a pikech. Aval pikech v'nischaresh hu kosev v'hein chosmin. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if he was a pikech and now more recently has become nischaresh, so then he can write us notes, and that's good enough, and we can sign a shtar based on that. We can rely on the fact that he is a pikech. So that's exactly like Rav. So you see that Rav is just paskening like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's a machlokas tanoim whether a pikech shenischaresh can write notes, and we should follow his instructions as far as a get. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says yes. So Rav paskening like Cherish may kara lo. So says Gemara, wait a second. Is that true that someone who was always a Cherish cannot be Megarish mitoch haksav? And you cannot show that he's a Pikeach just from the fact that he's writing things? Even if he's a Shota, even if he was a Shota at the time of when he got married, he was a Cherish Meikaro. So Kshem Shakonsibrim is a Kach Motsibrim is a meaning. What did we just say? That if someone was always a Cherish his whole life and he writes a note, please give a get to my wife, we can't do it because a Cherish can't get divorced. Well, if he was a Cherish his entire life, then when he got married, he was a Cherish also. So this whole marriage was only Midrabanan to begin with. So this whole marriage was only Midrabanan, was the marriage of a Cherish. Why can't the divorce be a divorce of a Cherish? I mean, the whole problem with allowing a Cherish to get divorced is that he's got a marriage d'oraisa because he was a Pekeach when he got married. So that's where Rav is Mechadesh. Still, when he writes, then you know he's a Bar Das. But you're going to tell me that someone who's a Cherish his entire life is not allowed to write instructions to divorce his wife? He was never married midrash anyway. So says Mari Ibish Tachinam, you're right. If his marriage is only a marriage midrabanan, so of course he could write, we can follow his written instructions to give a get to his wife. Hachamay Eskinan Biyavimto. Over here we're talking about where it was his Yavama. So his brother got married with a marriage midaraisa. His brother died, so now he inherited this marriage midaraisa, even though he's always been a Cherish. So says Mari Yavimto Miman. Well, who is his brother? Ile Midaf Lemeach of Cherish. If his brother was also a Cherish, well, then his brother's marriage is also on the midrabanan, so he should still be able to get divorced. No, we're talking about that the brother is a pikeach. So the brother had a marriage d'oraisa. He inherited that marriage d'oraisa, and that's where we have the whole diyun whether we could follow written instructions that this cherish says to get divorced. Or it could be that the brother is also a cherish. What would be the problem then with letting the guy get divorced? Maybe we make a gzeira that we're not going to let him get divorced as a cherish, even though his brother was also only a cherish, so the marriage is only midrabanan. A gzeira atu if the brother was a pikeach. If that's the case, ishtonami, then we should make the same gzeira for his own wife, that if he got married as a cherish, then he should not be able to get divorced as a cherish, because people will get confused between a cherish getting divorced from a wife midrabanan and getting divorced from a wife midaraisa. So it says, yivimto biyivimto michlefa, ishto biyivimto lo michlefa. No one is going to confuse an isha and a yavama. People will confuse a yavama with a brother who is a cherish and a yavama with a brother who is a pikeach. Sorry that the Zoom keeps conking out, but okay. So it says, umigazrin and cherish atu pikeach. Do we really have a gezerah of yivimto from a pikeach that a cherish atu yavama from pikeach? But don't we have a Mishnah Maseches Yevamos, Shnei Achin Charashin Nesuin Shnei Achios Pichos, that if you have two Cherish brothers that are married to two sisters who are Pichos, so you have hopefully it will be more consistent. You have Shnei Achin Charashim that are married to Shnei Achios Pichos. Let's make sure that everyone's able to hear me. I hope so. So again, Shnei Achin Charashin Nesuin Shnei Achios Pichos, O Shnei Achios Charashos, O Shnei Achios Achas Pikachas V'Achas Charashos, or you have two sisters who are Charashos, or two sisters, one of whom is a Cherish, V'Chein Shnei Achios Charashos Nesuos Shnei Achin Pichin, or two sisters who are both Charashos, married to two brothers who are Pichin, O L'Shnei Achin Charashin, or they're married to two brothers who are Charashin, O L'Shnei Achin Echad Pikach V'Echad Cherish, or the two brothers, one of whom is a Pikach and one of whom is a Cherish. In all those cases, Harei Elu Peturos Min HaChalitza Min HaYibum. In all those cases, they're Pater from Chalitza and Yibum, because the Eishes HaMeis, which is Achos Ishto, is Asur as an Erva, because the Halacha is that if one of two brothers get married to two women who are not related to each other, so then you have a Mitzvah of Yibum. But two brothers get married to two sisters, there's no Mitzvah of Yibum, because it's an Erva. So the Eishes HaMeis, who's Achos Ishto, is asr lav b'isr erva and arayos so pata from yibum nichalitza. That's the first mishnah mesach zivamos v'im hayu nachrios. But if the two women that these two brothers are married to are not sisters with each other, and one of the brothers die without children, and now there's a yibum situation, yichlasu. So the yavam has to do yibum, and he cannot do chalitza because when the yavam or the yavama are a cherish, they can't do the chalitza. They physically can't do the chalitza. Involves an amira. Yeah, there's a speaking part in the chalitza. If after they do the yibum, they want to give a get, so yotziu, then they're able to give a get because the get of a cherish could be mafkia, the nisuin of the yibum that came as a result of a kiddushin that involved the cherish in the first place. So you see, at the end of the day, that a cherish that's miyavim eshes achiv, where the brother was a cherish, is able to be megarisher. There's no gzeira. Apparently, he's able to be megarisher. The chamor not gozer that you can't be megarisher because people will make a mistake and they'll think that if you're able to be megarish from the yavama from your brother the cherish, then you're also able to be megarisher yavama from your brother the pikech. No gzeira. We don't make any such gzeira. He's allowed to be megarisher. So we have to go back with the first answer that the case is the din of a cherish meikaro not being megarish al deksiva was only where the brother was a pikeach. But if the brother was a cherish and the surviving brother is also a cherish, but he writes a note to give a get to his wife, so that we could for sure follow. So Rabbi Yochanan says that when Rav Shmuel Gamliel made his comment, meaning we said before the Tanakhama holds that a get does not work with ksav yad of a cherish, and Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, but medvar mamurim only if he was a cherish meikaro. If he written instructions should not be followed if he was always a cherish, but if he's a pekach and a cherish, then written instructions may be followed. So it's not clear whether Rav Shmuel Gamliel is qualifying the sheet of the Tanakhama or disagreeing with the sheet of the Tanakhama. So that's what Amar Rabbi Yochanan chalukin alav chaver of Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel. The Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel is coming to be cholek on the Tanakhama, and the Tanakhama holds that even a pikeach v'nischarish cannot get divorced by leaving written instructions or by writing written instructions that we should write a get for his wife. So Amar Abai afana nami tanina. So Abai says, yeah, we learned similar in Maseches Yevamos that those who disagree with Rav Shmuel Gamliel the Tanakhama in fact disagrees with Rav Shmuel Gamliel, because the Mishnah Yevamos talks about a woman is a pikachas, marries a pikach, a regular marriage, and then nishtas, she becomes a shota lo yotzi. You're not allowed. You're not able to be megarisher nischarish who o nishtata. If he becomes a cherish or a shota, lo yotzi olamis. Then they can never get divorced. My olamis. What is olamis? Olamis is like this emphatic statement. Lav afal gav diachol dabim toch haksav. Isn't the word olamis telling me not about a time frame that they will never be able to get divorced? I don't know what the future holds. Maybe he'll get his das back at some point. No, olamis means that he absolutely cannot get divorced. What does absolutely mean? Even if he writes instructions to write a get for his wife, that's not good enough. Isn't that what the word olamis means? And that's against Rav Shmuel Gamliel, because Rav Shmuel Gamliel says if you started out as a pekech and now you're a cherish and you write written you write instructions to give a get, then you can get divorced. So isn't the word olamis against Rav Shmuel Gamliel? So you see that chalukin olav chaverov al Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Some Rav Papa ilav da Hashmin and Rabbi Yochanan. No, had Rabbi Yochanan not told me that Rav Shmuel Gamliel's argument on the Tanakhama, that Mishnah would not have convinced me. Hava Amina, Rav Shmuel Gamliel, lefrushe time in Tanakhama da'asa, my olamis, avagav dechazina le'decharif. That olamis just means that even if he seems like a pretty clever fellow, he can't be megari shali de remiza. But mitoch haksav, maybe that would be enough. So that's why I need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me that Rav Shmuel Gamliel in fact disagrees with the Tanakhama. I would not have figured it out from that Mishnah alone. Inami, or I would have said the reason the Mishnah says the word olamis, that he absolutely cannot get divorced, is look at Rabbi Yitzchak to tell me the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak Dvar Torah Shota Miskareshes. Mido Raisa Shota, female Shota is able to be Miskarish because you don't need the das of the Isha for Gerishin. You could be Megarish and Isha Bal Karcha. Mido Dava Pikachas Bal Karcha. Just like we find in Pikachas is Miskareshes Bal is Miskareshes Bal Karcha. Umatam Amorena Miskareshes. Why do we say a Shota cannot be Miskareshes? Because it's just a Demeter Rabbanan that we don't want people to treat her with the Minhag Hefker. And that's why it says L'yotzi Olamas, to tell me that it's only Midrash Rabbanan that he's not able to be Megarisher. And the Sefer, adds the word Olamas, tell me that even Midor Raisa, you can't be Megarisher. So that's what Olamas means. More emphatically, meaning that it's a Dindor Raisa in the Sefer. And the Reisha just says you can't be Megarisher because it's talking about a woman who's a Shota, where Midor Raisa you would be able to be Megarisher. So that's why it comes in the Sefer and says Olamas, that even Midor Raisa you can't. New Mishnah. Amru lo, if they tell a fellow, Nichlov get lishtcha, should we write a get for your wife? Vamlen ksovu, and he says, yeah, write a get. So Amru the sofer v'kasav, v'le'edim v'chasmu, so they tell the sofer, and he writes a get, and edim, and they sign the get, aval b'shekosvu v'chasmu v'nasnu lo, even though they wrote the get, they signed the get, they gave the husband the get, v'chazar v'nasanu lo, and then the husband took that get and gave it to his wife, hare a get batel atchiyomer the sofer ksovu v'le'edim v'chasmu. That get is not a valid get until the husband tells the sofer directly to write it and the edim directly to sign it. So let's see the Gemara's question and we'll get to all the Gemara's answers tomorrow. Taima delo amar tenu, ha amar tenu nosnin. Sounds like the only reason that the get is batel is because he never instructed tenu. He just said kisvu. But had he said tenu, then this would be perfectly fine. Mani rad meir, damra mili, mimsron l'shliach. So it sounds like even if he says kisvu tenu, then the people who we told that to are allowed to go instruct the sofer and edim and other people. So it sounds like mili mimsur on the shliach, which is the shita of Rabbi Meir. But then in the sefer goes on to say ad shiomer the sofer ksovu leedim chasamu, that he has to give direct instructions to the sofer and the edim. Asan Rabbi Yossi dam mili lo mimsur on the shliach. So Reisha Rabbi Meir, the sefer Rabbi Yossi. How could it be the Reisha is following Rabbi Meir, the sefer is following Rabbi Yossi? So first answer is in Reisha Rabbi Meir, the sefer Rabbi Yossi. But Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll get to the other answers of the Gemara of how to reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah. Everyone have a wonderful day. Sorry about the Zoom problems again.